Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
After 12 o'clock, we're gearing up for football season around here. Before I get into Bears talk here, I just want to let you know, Russell Wilson ended his press conference with Go Broncos. So, are we good with that? Are we okay with Go Broncos, or do we not want him to say anything?
Broncos country, let's rock.
Yeah, bring that back. No more, we don't need Go Broncos. He said Go Hawks when he was with Seattle, so I guess he's just kind of simplifying things. Joining me in studio, Matt Gaider, former UNC Bear offensive lineman. He is now our color commentator for UNC football. First season doing this as the color commentator. We heard from you a lot last year from the field and everything. But, Matt, we are pumped to have you on this side of things, man. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm really super, super looking forward to it, excited for it. Something I've been striving for a long time and ready to get the season underway.
I always like it when you can get a player, you know, whether you played college football or specifically for that team, getting your insight, bringing that to the table. I am so pumped for that aspect that you're going to bring.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just different when you have a player in there because they bring in that kind of behind-the-scenes insight. They know what's going on, especially if it's, like in my shoes, someone recent who was just recently a part of the team. I feel like I kind of have a different look at things than someone else.
Well, you played under Ernest Collins Jr.
Yep.
You played under Ed McCaffrey.
Yep.
So, and you obviously, you know the challenges, too, that a head coach would have, the players would have, everything from the locker rooms to where, you know, walking from the field to get to your locker rooms. You know about all those challenges that UNC has, and that's another aspect of it. How does that affect you as a player?
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, honestly, being able to play under both of those coaches was kind of unique, kind of seeing both of the different coaching styles. But yeah, there is a lot that kind of challenges UNC. Like you mentioned, having to go from the locker room, walk all the way outside, get to the stadium. There's just a lot that goes on that people don't really realize you have to deal with.
It is. And I didn't really realize that either. In fact, I went on the tour with Ed McCaffrey about 2 years ago, and he took me through everything. And you know, I felt for the guy and I felt for the Bears because, you know, there are challenges and I know they're getting better. You know, you've got the new workout facility and that's awesome. It's amazing. But yeah, like at halftime, just leaving the field to walk across the parking lot and get into the locker room, it's got to be a strange thing, right?
Yeah, no, it is super strange, but it's one of those that you almost kind of get used to it.
It's kind of part of it.
You don't let it affect you too much because the other team's doing it too.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're at a disadvantage. Sure, you have to deal with it every home game, but whoever you're playing has to deal with it too. And you just try to kind of put that out of your mind. Like, it takes up probably 2 minutes of halftime just to walk in, walk out. But other than that, you try to business as usual.
So I've talked to you before about, you know, the differences between Ed McCaffrey and Ernest Collins Jr. We don't have to go back and rehash everything on there. But so far, what have you seen from Ed Lamb that it is really encourages you as far as hoping the Bears can really turn the next page here?
Honestly, my favorite thing, and I know you've talked about it a lot, he works out with the team every single day. Every workout that the team has, he is there. And that's something I never had as a player. And just seeing when he said that he was going to do that in his introductory meeting, I was like, okay, so he'll be there every now and then.
Yeah.
But it's every single day.
Well, everything that I'm hearing, Matt, is that he's like, it bugs him if he misses a workout with the team.
Yeah.
That's I mean, that as a player, as a former player, that has to be something that really drives you.
Yeah, no, and that's something that, like, even if as a player, if I had never had a conversation with him, but just seeing him at every workout, I want to play for that guy. Because that's just the perfect lead by example. Like, if he's going through it, I can go through it, and I want to play with, because that's why you want to play for your teammates, is they go through all
they
of
it. They see them
they
doing
go
it.
Go through all of that with you. And so having a head coach and a lot of the other assistant coaches as well that are doing those workouts, you want to play for those types of guys.
So Ernest didn't do that kind of stuff?
No, and a lot of them were there occasionally.
Right.
And so I'm not trying to knock
No, but coaches. it's just a positive thing.
Yeah, he is constantly there.
And
that's something that we haven't had.
And see, that's what I really love is he's showing this accountability because he's saying, hey, if I miss a workout, you know, a player might come to me and say, maybe they have to miss a workout for something. I can say, dude, I'm not missing workouts, you know, and I can actually use that. I'm practicing what I preach. it almost feels like the complete opposite from some of the stories we heard about Ed McCaffrey, just sometimes not being available to the players.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest things is these coaches are always present. You see them all the times just throughout the building, in the offices, and you'd know that they're doing their job and they're working hard for this upcoming season.
How frustrating was it for you? I mean, you were a longtime Bear, and then to go through kind of to see what happened with the Ed McCaffrey stuff, and you were there, I think, your final year, or was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, so my final year was his second year being there, but first season.
Sure. But knowing, okay, this is my last year, and it's just there's all these weird things going on. And then you look at Ed Lamb, and you're like, God, that would have been freaking awesome to have that kind of a head coach.
Yeah, it would have been. And honestly, during my final year, I kind of try to block it out. And because I'm someone that when I'm on the team, I'm going to buy in and think that.
Sure, yeah.
I always think, like, this team can win. Like, this team can do it. And I did believe that. But then it was halfway through the year, you kind of start to realize, like, what's going on here? And then it was the same thing last year. It's like, what's going on here? So I think it's good to see a change, and hoping that that's something we're not going to see with this new staff, and I think a lot of belief around the building.
Talk to us about that belief in this team. Obviously, we know guys like David Hogue and Jordan Napke, they're getting high praise. They're on the watch lists and all that stuff. We're excited to see what Jacob Sermon can do as well. But how do you really feel this team is going to perform this year? Do you feel like it's kind of a recharge year, or do you expect this team to be competitive in the Big Sky Conference this season?
I think this team will definitely be competitive, for sure, and I have a lot of expectations out of this team, but I also want to note that since joining Division I, UNC hasn't won more than six games in a season. They've been 6-5 2 years and 5-6 once. Only three seasons with more than four wins in a season, so I expect a lot better, and so you also have to kind of temper those expectations, realize what they're coming from, and I don't expect it to be the national championship year one. Like, that's more than likely not going to happen. But I just want to see improvement and something to continue to build on and grow this program.
What do you think it's going to take to turn this program around? Because we talked about the challenges. And again, you talk about the facilities. And those are always attractive points for colleges to go and get recruits. We got this workout area. We've got this. We've got this. We know those challenges are there. Is it really going to be all about what Ed Lamb can really bring to the table?
I think a lot of it is that, and because that's one of the biggest things that recruits are drawn to. Yeah, you have facilities, stadiums that look nice, but that's all that it really is it looks nice. People want to go to programs that win. And so I think if Ed Lamb can start winning games here at UNC, that's going to start bringing a lot more recruits from the state of Colorado and from outside of the state of Colorado that are maybe those borderline FBS guys going to come to a good, solid FCS program in Colorado and have a good chance to win.
How important is it, because you're a Colorado guy, how important is it for what Ed Lamb's doing? We're seeing transfer portal stuff. We're seeing what CU's doing. CSU's doing a little bit of it. But Ed Lamb's saying, hey, we want to commit to local guys, to Colorado guys. Mm-hmm. How important is that for this type of a program?
I think that's super important, and especially if they can put an emphasis on that, like I know they're trying to, because I was, like you mentioned, a local kid from Colorado. I got recruited by UNC coming out of high school, and at the time I just wasn't really that interested because I didn't feel like I liked what the program had to offer all that much, and so I ended up going to the Air Force Academy a few years later, transferred up to UNC, and I've kind of seen change throughout my time there, and especially in the last couple years. And it's like he just needs to keep continuing to grow this program and get those kids that would have gone somewhere else.
We're talking to Matt Gaeter, who played for Air Force, played for the UNC Bears. He's now going to be on the call this upcoming year with Blake Olson. I'm very excited about that. I've always wanted to pick your brain about the Air Force side of things, because you played offensive line there, right?
I was on the defense.
You were on the defense? Okay. Yeah. So I just wanted to – maybe you can still speak into that, though, because the offensive line, those guys are just different dudes in Air Force. I mean, you're a little bit smaller, but they – figure something out every single year. What is that process like?
Honestly, for the offensive line there, they're going to run the ball. And they know they're going to run the ball. It's more so just we're going to line up our five guys and good luck stopping
them.
And I say five guys because that's what you have on the offensive line. But for Air Force, you have more than five guys blocking. You're going to have both tight ends, a fullback, and load the box. And they're going to figure it out. And I got to go up against that offense every single day playing scout team. And it's not a good time.
No, I can't.
Not a good time at all. You're going to get cut. You know they're going to be trying to reach you. It's not fun playing against them.
Nobody likes to play Air Force. I mean, every single you'll talk to teams, and it's like we have to like have almost an extra week of prep to get ready because nobody is like them. There is no team even close to what Air Force does.
Yeah, no, and I think that's one of the biggest things with Air Force is they almost always play everyone close. even if, because I remember, I think it was either my last year there or the year after I left, they played Michigan in the Big House, and it was a good, close football game for 2.5, 3 quarters. And then Michigan started doing Michigan things and took off a little bit, but it was that game, one turnover, one special teams touchdown, it can go a completely different way.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Gaeter joining us in studio. I'm excited about UNC and turning the page here. It's just like when you get on ESPN and you go look at their schedule. The number one story right there, it's still there. You know, Ed McCaffrey won't return. That was 8 months ago. Yep. I'm ready for a positive story to be put on there. They didn't put Ed Lamb was hired by the Bears or anything. So I think if you can go out this year and just get some positivity into this program, people might start to take notice.
Yeah, and I think that's really what everyone around UNC wants is, yeah, we had the Collins era, we had the McCaffrey era, and everyone always likes to talk about that, especially the McCaffrey era.
Yeah.
And kind of everything that went on. But everyone around that building, I think, is just kind of ready to move on.
They're done, right?
Yeah, just ready to move on, look forward to the future, and try to get this thing going under Coach Lamb.
Yeah, Ed doesn't, he certainly doesn't want to go back and talk about it or anything. And I think people are just ready to turn the page. But I will say, man, what a wild, weird ride that was. Ed McCaffrey came storming in. There was a lot of media hype. I mean, you were at some of those press conference days, most press we've ever seen for a guy. It was huge. And then just like that, boom, he's gone. And then he scrubs his entire social media account of all things you would see. It's like it never happened.
Yeah. And that's kind of one of those weird things. It was like right after he left, all tweets deleted. And it just kind of felt like, It felt like a messy breakup.
Yeah, it was. And it's like, you were still a coach there.
Yeah.
You still supported student athletes, and you still probably had some good relationships, but you just wiped it clean.
Yeah.
Well, now you've got, it seems like a guy, you know, that just taking this seriously. He has a great resume. He's a football resume, you know, as far as college football goes. And again, Ed McCaffrey, the knock there was he's young. He's new because he's a high school guy, and he surrounded himself with other high school guys.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Lamb's bringing that experience.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing is we have a proven winning college coach, won a Big Sky championship with Southern Utah.
Yeah.
And then had success at BYU, special teams coordinator, associate head coach. So I think we have a good chance, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm hearing all these rumors too that like BYU like he loved Ed Lamb. Mm-hmm. They loved them some Ed Lamb, and it was like he was one of the guys that made that thing go there. So I'm really pumped to see what he brings here. What are you looking forward to as far as like, give us some of the highlights on the offensive side or the defensive side that people should be looking out for? We know David Hogue's name. That's a big name. He's coming back off the injury. But who else should we really be looking out for?
Yeah, that's the biggest one defensively is David Hogue and missing the entire last year. So seeing what he's going to be able to do this year and kind of looking forward to that. But then also on the defensive side, Jordan Napke, named preseason all-conference. I think he's going to have a big year for the Bears. And then offensively, Jacob Sermon, starting quarterback. That's who everyone's going to list. But I also want to give a shout-out to Hank Gibbs. He's a transfer quarterback coming in from Wyoming. I think having him on this roster, even if Serum is still expected to be the starter, but I think that's going to be huge to have that competition throughout fall camp and into that first week of the season.
Yeah, no, you look at these quarterbacks, and it just they look the part too.
Yes.
When I was out at spring practice a while back, they just kind of have that look to them.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be great because anytime you know you're going to be the starting quarterback and know you're going to get the job, you don't have to try as hard. And I'm not saying that's what Serm would do. I know Serm really well, and he's not that type of guy. But anytime you have someone there to push you and challenge for that spot, just having that competition is going to breed.
Matt Gaeter joining us in studio. Matt, what kind of offense is this going to be? When you look at certain teams, you know, we know CSU's for air raid. They're gonna throw the ball. They're going to try if they can get that offensive line right. CU, I still really don't know. We just know there's a lot of big names over there.
Yep.
What kind of offense is Ed Lamb's team going to put forward this year?
You know, I think we're going to see more of a pass-first offense. And they're going to, because a lot of the times you'll see teams try to run the ball to open up the passing. I think it's kind of going to be the opposite for UNC this year. They're going to try to pass the ball a lot, passing it on first and second downs to open up that run game.
So we're going to get a lot out of Jacob Sermon right off the bat.
I think that's the plan.
Yeah. I'm pumped for him. I'm looking forward to it. Just got a text from the Weld County Swami. So excited to have Matt on the call this year. And I think a lot of people, they are pumped about that side of it when we made the announcement because of what you can bring to the table. Being in the trenches and playing football for the UNC Bears.
Yeah, and it's a different dynamic. I feel like I look at the game a little bit differently than other people do. And a lot of the times when I watch games, I do just watch the linemen and the play and the ball is off going somewhere else. But I'm watching the guys on the inside. That's where I'm used to.
That's where, it's cliche, but it all starts in the trenches, man.
Yeah.
And that's where everything happens is in those trenches, and you can speak on that.
Yep.
How difficult is it to play offensive line at this level?
I mean, it's difficult because you're always going up against someone just as big as you and typically faster, because the defensive line is normally going to be faster, but a lot of the times they're just as big, if not bigger than you, and you're trying to block them or keep them from getting to the quarterback. In my opinion, I think it's the hardest job in football. I know a lot of people – mentally, quarterback. I'll say quarterback is the hardest job, but physically, I would say it's between offensive line or – defensive back, which are the two most opposite positions.
Oh yeah, but so much pressure on both. You got to protect that quarterback, and then you got to try to stop that quarterback. It's a difficult task.
Yeah,
Matt, do we know when what the practice schedule looks like just yet? Has that been released?
I know they're getting started on Monday.
Okay,
no, we're report day Sunday, and then practice starts Monday, and it's there. Go
just like that, man. Let's see what this team can do. We're so excited to have you on the call this year to get your knowledge and, you know, what you can bring to us each and every week. So we're pumped about it, man.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be a great year.
All right, my man Matt, appreciate you popping by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, 12:49 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk on Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.